Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And I especially want to thank Joan for her support. You can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. And we'll send along access to our premium site, which we do with all donations of $7 or more. And there are a couple other gifts we're offering year-round you can check out. But let's go ahead and get into today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. As we continue with Callicles Matter, Part 3 and Part 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
What are you doing lying around a hospital? This is Dave Blaine, Johnny.
Are you here in Los Angeles?
No, I'm in Boston still. What happened?
I was with Mrs. Parsons this afternoon, trying to find out what happened to her husband. She missed a turn in the road.
How is she? Is she all right?
She was killed, Dave.
Johnny, what can I do to help?
Nothing, Dave. Nothing much to do now. Parsons is back, and, well, now he's back, I'll wrap it up.
Johnny, what is it, pal?
She was a pretty nice person, Dave. I saw her die.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by special investigator Johnny Dollar to the Eastern Casualty and Trust Company, number 25, Yardley Boulevard, Boston, Massachusetts. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Callicles matter. Item 3, 26 cents for a package of cigarettes, which the night nurse at St. John's Hospital bought for me. She also brought in a sedative. That was the last thing I remembered until about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Look out! Look out! Look out!
Mr. Dollar!
Yeah. Shh.
Here. You've had a bad dream.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you just lie down.
You
need some rest.
Yeah.
Can I get you anything, Mr. Dollar? Some water?
No, sister, no, thank you. What's your name?
I'm Sister Amadea.
You weren't here when they brought me in.
No. Now you just go back to sleep.
Sister, wait.
Yes?
I'd like to talk to you about it.
Of course. You mean the accident?
Yes, all of it. I'd feel better.
Well, we want you to do that, certainly.
I came to Los Angeles for an insurance company back east.
Mm-hmm.
We had a report that a big executive in a stock firm out here was missing.
I see.
A man named David Parsons, junior partner with his father in the stock and bond business.
Oh, yes, I've heard of the Parsons family.
I talked to a man named Ecker, old Mr. Parsons' secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Ecker took me out to see the old man. He was pretty nasty. Wouldn't talk much about his son being gone for 10 days. Then I met David Parsons' wife. I told her I thought the matter should go to the police. She agreed with me. But later on this afternoon out by the ocean, she said she expected him to come back. She called the house and they said David Parsons had come back.
Oh.
It was a strange afternoon, sister. I mean, we sat in the sand and talked about these things. I could have fallen in love with her. Maybe I did. I'll never know. Sister Amadea.
Oh, Mr. Dollar, you're more shaken up than you think. Really,
I'll never get used to things like this.
Now you just sleep, Mr. Dollar. Go on now, go to sleep. The world becomes very heavy sometimes. I'll just go to sleep.
Item 4, $14.95, one night in the hospital. When I got back to the Beverly Hilton, I bought a copy of the morning paper, ordered some lunch, and sat down to read about my accident. An unidentified woman was killed. An unidentified man was slightly injured in a car crash on Sunset Boulevard the afternoon before. No names, no details, no nothing. Strange. But even stranger was the appearance of Robert Ecker, old man Parsons' secretary, at my door. Then I didn't know why his eyes were red-rimmed.
Hello, Dollar. How do you feel?
Oh, all right now, I guess. Come in.
This whole thing's pretty terrible, Dollar. I just stepped up to see how you feel. Is there anything I can do for you?
No, nothing, thanks.
Mr. Parsons wanted you to know that he's concerned for you.
Tell him I'm okay. How are things there?
Young Mr. Parsons is pretty broken up.
He's really back, then?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then, I'm just about through out here. Could I see?
Mr. Parsons thought you'd want to. Yes.
Expense account, item 8, $178, airplane ticket, back to Hartford. Item 9, $43, hotel and board for 2 days in Los Angeles. Item 10, $6, cab fare. My plane was scheduled to leave at 9 o'clock that night. I checked out about 4 in the afternoon and went directly to the home of David Sr. He looked a little ashen when I came in, but his temper hadn't improved much. He pointed a crooked finger at me.
I've got this to say to you right now, Dollar. If you hadn't insisted on talking to her, she'd be alive today. She wouldn't have been with you driving that car.
If she hadn't been forbidden by you to see me, we wouldn't have had to drive around in a car. You have a drink around here?
Right there.
I didn't come here to argue with you anymore. My job was to find your son. Evidently, he wasn't lost. Ecker told me I could meet him here about this time.
You're pretty free with my whiskey.
You can afford it. You want one?
Oh, I get a jigger before every meal, that's all.
Cheers. Well, am I early or what?
David will be here any time now.
Have any arrangements been made yet?
You'll have to ask Ecker about that. I don't know.
I'd like to send some flowers, something.
That's always the logical gesture. This is Mr. Dollar, David. Come in. It's my son, David.
The man in the black suit wasn't what I expected in the way of David Parsons, Jr., somehow. He was tall and rangy, almost athletic. He had a good sunburn, a pair of square shoulders. I would have read him for an advertising man or a pro ball player. Certainly not for the investment brokerage business. We shook hands, he smiled wanly and lit up a cigarette.
Dad tells me you've been looking for me.
That's right, Mr. Parsons. Where have you been all this time?
Well, I took a freighter out of Los Angeles and rode it up to Oregon. Just a whim. Wanted to be alone and do some thinking.
How come no word?
Oh, that's a whim, too. Are you trying to get into my personal life?
No. Just curious again. Well, here's some reports I have to make out. If you'd sign them, I'd appreciate it.
Go ahead, sign them. Let them go.
Sure. I have a pen. Okay.
Fine, thank you.
Satisfied, Dollar?
Completely. What ship did you take up there?
Ship?
The boat to Oregon.
Oh, the Loreen B., Wintermaker Timber Company ship.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm glad you're okay. Thank you for your cooperation. I went back to my hotel, checked in once more, canceled my airline reservations, and put in a call to Robert Ecker. He wasn't in his office. A little arguing got me his home number. No one answered. I went out and spent $25, item 8, to rent a car. I drove it over to Ecker's apartment address. He wasn't in, so I waited. A half an hour later, he drove up, ran into his apartment for about a minute and a half, came back out and got into his car. When he pulled into traffic on Wilshire, I was one Buick behind him. He finally stopped at a place on Olympic Boulevard, the Parkway Funeral Home. I waited 5 minutes and then walked in. Robert Ecker stood in a semi-dark room, hands folded before him as if in prayer. He was looking down at the body of David Parsons' wife. Hello, Ecker.
Hello.
Came by to pay my respects.
Sure.
Who is she, Ecker?
What was that?
Who's this girl? She isn't Dorothy Parsons, I know that much. Who is she? We better talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah, we better talk. Her name's Ellen. Her name was Ellen Myers. We're going to be married.
I'm sorry.
She was one of those only people that you find in this town. I mean, she worked a bit in pictures and drew and painted a little bit. I don't know how I met her. I just know that she was fresh and lovely, and she'd do anything for me.
Or for old man Parsons.
For me. She was mine. Everything else is his. She was mine. He blew up the other morning when I called up and said you were in town looking for David Jr. He said we had to steer you out. He didn't want you talking to anybody.
So he arranged that she'd be there posing as Mrs. Parsons.
He asked me to get someone. She was delighted with the idea. It was kind of a little game for her.
Where's the real Mrs. Parsons?
Home, I guess. I don't know.
I'll find that out. Now, tell me who's the guy I shook hands with this afternoon who said he was David Parsons, Jr.?
I don't know his name. Someone the old man hired to play the part for him.
Then David Parsons is still missing.
Yeah.
Why all the cover-up? Why doesn't the old man want him found?
He does want him found. He wants him found in the worst way. He's been turning the country upside down looking for him for a week now. And something like 23 operatives from a private detective firm looking for him, but he doesn't want it to go to the police. He wants it out of the papers at all costs.
Why?
Parsons is going to merge with Little and Tennyson. You've heard of them?
Yeah.
The old man's got to take it easy. Heart attack. Parsons Jr. will get into the saddle when the merger happens. He'll take over the whole play. That is, of course, with the old man sitting down in Palm Springs dictating orders to him.
In other words, old man Parsons wants his figurehead to be on deck clean and unsullied for the merger.
That's it.
What do you think happened to Jr.?
I don't have any idea. What happens to any of us who work for Parsons? We give him lip at first, we get mad at him. In the end, he shakes out all the dignity and honesty you might ever have, and he makes you his own personal Robin. Look at me, Dollar. He got me to make my girl play all that out in front of you. Now she's dead, and I'm still a robot for him.
Take it easy.
And sure. How did you get on to Junior?
Well, he didn't look broken up. He was a pretty bad actor. He also gave some wrong answers about being off on a ship and so on. Hey, look. You don't have to say anything about talking to me.
Oh, but I will. I'll tell Parsons you pumped it all out of me. We'll worry him a bit. He'll figure out some other way to stop you. I told you once before, darling. He'll break your heart.
Johnny Dollar.
Ready with your Crestview number, Mr. Dollar.
Good.
Yeah?
Mr. Parsons?
Who's this?
Johnny Dollar.
What are you doing in town?
Still looking for your son, Mr. Parsons.
You met him yesterday. He's been found. He wasn't lost. So
I met the man you hired to convince me that he was your son. I know he isn't.
Listen, if you're going to make trouble...
I will if I have to. I have that guy's signature on two papers in my briefcase. It constitutes a witness forgery, no matter how you look at it. I'd be willing to call up a lawyer and see what kind of noise I can make.
What do you want?
I'll be out to tell you in 20 minutes. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Eastern Casualty and Trust Company, number 25 Yardley Boulevard, Boston, Massachusetts. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Callicles matter. Expense account item 9, $100, legal retainer. I hired an attorney named Robert Watson to arrange for a court order impounding all the records in the Parsons brokerage house. I also turned over to him the forged reports. After that, I drove out to see Parsons, still laid up in bed.
Who spilled the beans?
You did, mainly. I didn't believe that guy here yesterday afternoon. I didn't believe the woman who was supposed to be his wife. So let it go at that. I'm here to find David Parsons, Jr. Let's stop playing games.
Don't get fresh with me, boy. I've crunched many a loud talker just like you.
You want me to walk out of here and start jamming up your works right now, or do you want to listen? You've botched up everything so far. Do I handle it, or do we keep on like this?
I'm going to kill you when I get on my feet.
In the meantime, you're going to lie there and like it. I came out here to find your son. You arranged to throw me off his trail by hiring a woman to play his wife and a man to appear and pretend he was your son. Let's take it from there. I understand you've had private detectives looking for him all over the country. What agency?
Universal Operators.
Who's in charge of it there?
A man named Underwood.
Have they got any leads?
Nothing. Nothing for 12 days.
Did he take anything?
I don't know. We haven't made an audit.
Well, there'll be an audit. I've got the machinery started right now.
Who do you think...
Shut up and lie down or you'll bust a blood vessel. Is Mrs. Parsons in town?
I sent her down to Palm Springs.
All right, it's 10:15 now. If I remember right, there's a plane from Palm Springs about noon. Call her there and tell her I'll be at her house at 2 o'clock. I want to talk to her.
Are you giving me orders?
I sure am. I want everybody in that household there. 2 o'clock. You arrange it.
I'll arrange nothing for you. Now get out of here.
Call who you have to call. 2 o'clock, Mr. Parsons. I left him fuming on the phone and drove my rented car downtown to the offices of Universal Operatives Incorporated. Mr. Underwood, the man in charge of finding David Parsons, Jr., shook my hand and told me he could report nothing to me about the case. I asked him to phone old man Parsons, which he did. That changed his mind. He broke down and gave me an hour-long story on what they'd done to locate the missing man. When he was finished, it came out the same way. They'd run into blank walls everywhere. They had no idea where David Parsons might be. I told Underwood he and his staff were fired and that Mr. Parsons would confirm it. I left him fuming on the phone. Expense account item 10, $4, two drinks and lunch all alone. After that, I drove over to the residence of David Parsons, Jr. Mrs. Parsons was a tall, graceful woman in her late 30s, settled on a sofa in front of the fireplace. The clothes she was wearing, the house itself, the appointments of the formal room, all suggested a well-run, well-kept sort of life.
I've answered so many questions from those private detectives.
I'm sorry to put you through it all again.
You must operate in a rather high-handed manner, Mr. Dollar. My father-in-law expressly told me the point here is not to let any of this get into the papers.
The point here is to find your husband, Mrs. Parsons. He's been missing 12 days now.
Well, I suppose I was the last one to see him. It was after dinner. He went upstairs. I didn't see him after that.
This would be...
The 13th. Yes, it was.
Did he sleep here that night?
His bed had been slept in, yes.
Then he really disappeared sometime on the 14th.
I suppose that's accurate. He wasn't in his office that day.
Did he take a car?
No. But I know the private detectives checked the cab companies
to see...
He
could have flagged one two blocks away. How about clothes? Did he pack anything?
Not a thing.
Money?
I don't know.
Okay. Can you think of any enemies who might want to harm your husband?
Enemies? Oh, dear, no.
Think a minute.
Well, perhaps in his office, in his business, there's someone... But he never discussed what went on there with me.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
It was a rule. This is our home. That is David's business. We just never talked about what went on in his office at all.
How long have you and Mr. Parsons been married?
18 years next July.
Have you been getting along?
Of course we've been getting along. We've gotten along always.
Ever discussed the probability of divorce or anything like that?
Certainly not.
Can you think of any reason why Mr. Parsons would just walk out and not come back?
None whatsoever.
Have the people in his office been worried about him?
Well, I believe Mr. Ecker's the only one who knows. The others think he's away on a business trip.
In other words, the whole thing's been kept quiet.
Oh, yes, of course. This merger situation is quite delicate. As you
Mrs.
know,
Mrs. Parsons, there's... were you very close to him?
I beg your pardon.
Don't beg my pardon. Just answer the question. Everybody seems to be worried about a merger, not about a man. Did you spend time together, do things together?
Well, of course. We entertained frequently. We traveled. We had common interests.
What?
Well, home, of course.
What else?
I don't know what you mean.
Did you enjoy each other, go out together, have fun?
Oh, really?
Did he have a hobby?
Well, yes, sort of. David liked to read and write a little. He fancied himself a scholar along some lines.
What lines?
Oh, literature. Of course, it was just an indulgence.
Where did he indulge himself?
He had a small study upstairs.
Would it be possible to look at that room?
Why, yes, I suppose so.
All right, I'll get to that in a minute. Mr. Parson, drink very much?
Cocktails before dinner, maybe two or three after.
Ever any long drinking jobs on the town?
David never went off and drank, if that's what you're trying to find out.
Oh, that's what I'm trying to find out. Is he in good health?
Yes. Perfect, I think.
What's the name of his doctor?
Stanley Warner, Dr. Warner.
Okay. How about his attitude?
What do you mean?
What kind of man is he? Quiet, loud, what?
Oh, I'd say David is, and always has been, a very quiet person.
Like his work?
Of course, he loves it.
His home?
I'm terribly afraid there's a great deal of insinuation in these questions you ask, Mr. Dollar.
What have you been doing in Palm Springs?
Resting.
Got a boyfriend?
Mr. Dollar.
Have you?
I resent that very much. Naturally, with my husband here, I go out with friends there. David knows about it.
He have a girlfriend?
You're being ridiculous.
No, you're being ridiculous.
What?
You sit here and describe the kind of association a man has with a drug clerk who sells him cigarettes, and you call it a marriage. Your husband disappears from the face of the earth, and you romp off to Palm Springs, forgetting all about it. You're insulted when I ask you what's wrong. You're hurt when I ask you how come, and you're annoyed when I mention it.
What on earth do you want me to do?
File a missing persons complaint right away. Get some help in here if it isn't too late.
Too late?
It could be, lady. It just could be you and your father-in-law have fooled around too long. She made the call. A half an hour later, two detectives from the Missing Persons Bureau were out here gathering facts. I tagged along. They questioned Mrs. Parsons, the servants. They examined the study as well as his bedroom. From all they could gather, David Parsons had nothing but the clothes on his back when he disappeared. By mid-afternoon, the police had started on old man Parsons and gone downtown to question the members of David Parsons' office force. The district attorney moved in quickly and negated my court order, impounding the books and records for a careful audit to determine if any money or bonds were missing. They promised to keep me informed. I went out on my own.
Come in, please.
Dr. Stanley Warner had a four-suite office on Wilshire Boulevard. He was a big graying man who looked as though he played a lot of golf and drank a lot of whiskey when he had the chance. I told him about Parsons being missing and asked for some details.
Well, according to my records, I examined him the first of last month. He was in good health. Excellent for a man of his age and responsibility.
Could you explain that, Doctor?
No, I was thinking only by comparison. David Parsons is 40 years old. He's held a position of tremendous responsibility for many years. For a lesser man, or for a frailer man, the incidence of organic disturbance in this age area increases considerably. David Parsons' case, that didn't seem to hold true.
Doctor, are you talking about the pressure from his father?
You know the old man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about that, yes. He'd crack up a lot of people.
How do you suppose David Jr. escaped?
He knew how to escape, at least for periods of time, get a complete rest.
Was there any indication or any reason whatsoever when you examined him to suspect that he might suffer from some sort of mental trouble?
No. I'd say that when I examined him, he was in excellent mental shape, too.
I see. Did you ever meet him outside the office?
Socially?
Yeah.
Yes. Both belonged to the same country club. Played golf with him several times, seen him at dances, other affairs.
Mm-hmm. He and Mrs. Parsons strike you as a happy couple?
I'll answer that by saying that happiness is intangible. I envied him, though, not because of his wife, you understand, but because with all the requirements that were made of him, he was still a gentle, decent man.
You ever appear with other women?
Not that I know of.
Did you ever have occasion to talk with him with his hair down?
Once. Startled me at first. I was aware that he was a man of education and culture, but I was quite taken aback by his ability to quote the classics. Seemed incongruous somehow. I remember this day we met in the club. We had a drink. I don't think anyone was there except the waiters. I was talking to him, and suddenly he dropped off the conversation. He stared ahead, and then he began to quote a Greek, Callicles.
Callicles?
Yes. I was so impressed by the passage, I took the trouble to look it up myself and write it down. I have it. Yes. Here. I can still see him quoting that word for word. Read it.
But if there were a man who had sufficient force, he would shake off and break through and escape from all this.
Go on, will you, please?
He would trample underfoot all our formulas and spells and charms,
and all our laws which are against nature. The slave would rise in rebellion and be lord over us, and the light of natural justice would shine forth. When did Parsons quote this to you, Doctor?
Monday, the day before he disappeared.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's final intriguing episode of this week's story.
The answer is with that old Greek who lived 3,000 years ago. Tomorrow we'll find it. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. $14.95 for a hospital stay. Boy, I have to admire those 1956 prices. Even adjusted for inflation, $128.55. Hard to find a hospital stay at that type of price. Also, I love the performance by Harry Bartell in Part 3 as the secretary. Probably one of the better performances we've seen from him. And this show really had a strong ensemble cast. With so many great radio dramas canceled and so few left on the air, really, they had access to most people who were willing to do radio work at this time. And they really use it to great effect. I think this episode's trying to address some more serious and deeper issues than your average detective show. How well this is going to work, I guess, remains a question, but it was somewhat, notable, aired originally during the 1950s, where a lot of people were, enjoying, material success, undreamt of by their parents and grandparents. Question really raised is, whether that success in and of itself is all that fulfilling. And if not, what do you do about it? I guess we'll find out the answers in Part 5. I do think the thing with the nun in Part 3, the other thing I'll mention really briefly, the thing with the nun in Part 3 was kind of the oddest attempt to recap everything that we've seen. Because the sister working at the hospital really didn't have any reason to recap it other than to keep the audience informed. But what we learned afterwards, I think, did show some insights into his character, so it was worthwhile. Well, we turn now to listener comments and feedback. And this one comes from Thomas, who says, I just wanted to write to tell you how much I enjoyed the show. Every morning at 5:30, I take it along with me as I give my dog a long walk to start the day. It keeps me great company, especially now that the mornings are so dark and chilly. I have to say I'm amazed at the difference of the quality of the different programs. Like many people, I really love Johnny Dollar. It is a real contrast to you when you run it back-to-back with a show like the Carter Brown Mysteries, which isn't on the same level. I almost wonder if you did it on purpose to show the best and worst of the genre. For example, a few weeks ago, Johnny was involved in the Fathom 5 matter, which I really enjoyed. Immediately after, it was Crime for a King, and the dialogue was all about hair triggers and itchy trigger fingers. It was so silly, it was almost camp. Was the choice intentional? Keep up the good work. And it's from Tom in Westfield, New Jersey. Well, Tom, it's certainly not intentional. I like the Carter Brown Mysteries. They're not as good as the 15-minute Johnny Dollars, but what is? And whether we're talking about Carter Brown or Dr. Tim Detective or Manhunt, there is a kind of limit to the quality of these shows that will kind of make them not stand up as well as Johnny Dollar. But I think that they can be enjoyed in their own right. And I hope folks do that. Certainly Carter Brown Mysteries, well, was a good show. I've said it before. It was kind of an Australian detective version of the spaghetti western, because so many of the programs were set in the United States, but all of them basically recorded in Australia with Australian cast. So it's a different type of show, but I think it's still very good, very enjoyable. But I think that there is a contrast between all the shows. You know, you go from today's program to something like Nick Carter, to Dr. Tim, and Amazing Mr. Malone. We really bring you a great variety on the show. And it's pretty much up to the listeners to determine which they like best. I've got my favorites and I share them, but to one degree or another, I enjoy all the shows we bring you, so thanks so much, and I encourage everyone to keep listening out there. We'll be back tomorrow with Nick Carter, and then on Friday, we wrap up the Callicles matter, and also bring you another episode of Dr. Tim Detective. Send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.